This morning, we're going to get into a small series that we're going to start right here, right now. It's called Back to the Basics. If you notice, the school buses have started up. It's difficult to get anywhere nowadays because there's a lot of parents trying to get their kids to school on time. And so as a church, it's good every year to go back to our basics. So we're going to start off from Matthew 28. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning, may our ears be opened. May your word be proclaimed. May we find joy in what you have written to us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I got a couple of questions for y'all this morning, and I hope you guys don't mind because back to basics, back to school means pop quiz the first day, right? Right? Y'all are so enthused. All right, so first question, and this is really my only question to start out. Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. Think Charlton Heston on the Mount Sinai. He's before God and hearing and literally seeing God. So, Ten Commandments, your pop quiz. You get this one wrong, and it's going to affect all the sermons from here on out. No. Ten Commandments, suggestions or commands? I heard one person say suggestion. I believe that person was under 10. So that has some implications. So 10 commandments, suggestions or commands. And there's a reason why I ask. And I got this from my mother-in-law. She has something on her kitchen wall that talks about this. So I got this from being married. And so 10 commandments, suggestions or commands, what I've heard is that y'all said commands. What I'm to understand is that when you say that it's a command, it means we are to follow. Now we have a little less along the lines of agreement. Commands, if you tell your kids to go clean your room, if I tell my child to go clean my room and his and the living room and the downstairs, what do I expect from my child? To do what? To go clean the house. Start with your room. We'll see how I gauge on that. Now, is my indication saying, go clean your room? Oh, by the way, you got 18 years until you get out of the house, so take your time. Isn't that a struggle for the parent-child relationship to mirror the image that we have with our Heavenly Father when he says, thou shalt not, what does he mean? I think he means what he says. So when we take a look here, if you would read this with me, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So my question for us today here, because you have it on the wall. You have it on the wall. You come in, it's your first time here. That's on your mind because it's on the wall. So the question here today is when he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, command or suggestion? Once again, we have a few people who say suggestion. So let's go over this. And when we look and say, okay, go therefore and make disciples, that is an aorist imperative in the Greek language. aorist imperative, which means go and make, not when you get around to it. Go and make. Go and make. And so the question for us today is, what has God asked us to do? How many of us are making disciples? When we stop and think about this, how many of us are making disciples? Some of you say, I've got three of them at home, and if I don't wring their necks, I am really trying. Yeah, you're trying to make disciples. It's going in one ear, going out the rest. I realize that, and sometimes it's kind of like, you know what God's thinking now when it goes in your ear and comes out the other side. So you're right on with what God is thinking about us, right? You get that as a parent. It's like it becomes clear. So if God says, go and make disciples, and he says that to his church 2,000 years later, how are we doing with that? As a church body, how are we doing making disciples? And all the research I've looked at and done comes up, 95% of the church is not making disciples. So how many of the church are making disciples? 5%. 5% of the church in America today is making disciples. So when we look two generations from now, how many disciples do we have? If 5% are being discipled, how many do we have in two generations? So how are we doing, church? So it's very intriguing that times are changing. There are times that it's a little scary. Culture shifting. There is a lot of things shifting. A lot of things that I did when I grew up is so outdated. And that's not how you do things. And there came a time where you could talk openly about who Jesus was. And nowadays, it seems like that's not necessarily something that you can really do without offending somebody. And so, interesting enough, is we in the church, let's just talk about the church culture that we have today. Because the real thing I'm wondering is the church really affecting the culture outside, or is the culture outside affecting the church here, how we do things? And it's very interesting to see that there is a shift there used to be a time and place in which the church you grew up in is the church that you were buried or had your funeral in. Correct? I mean, for some of us, it was you guys were in Trinity Raymond. And now you guys have incorporated that church in here with a couple other churches. And so we see that time and time again, if you're of a certain generation, you came back to that church. You came back to the church. You were married. You had your kids baptized here. And your children sat right here and watched as they brought in your casket. Because the whole part of being a Christian, your Christian life, was all about being in the presence of God here. And that's shifting with younger generations. And we've gotten away from this idea of making disciples. And I found a clip I hope you guys will allow me to play. Francis Chan is a pastor in California. So totally different culture even out there. His church grew to several thousand attendees every Sunday. Can you think of thousands of people in the same room? So this is what kind of a church he had. And then he said one day, this is not what church should be like. It should be simpler. He went actually over and he went and spent some time in India with his family. He spent time in Asia. He spent time in China. And the clip you're about to watch, he talks about going what's called the underground church in China. The people who were meeting and opening the Bible, even though it was illegal, and it's still illegal to have a Bible. And so he went, and he went to one of these church services. And so this is Pastor Chan talking about his experience in China.
Why are you so interested in this? And I said, because this is not the way it is in America. And they're like, really? I go, in America, we have these buildings called churches. And we actually just attend there for like an hour, hour and a half a week. And we switch, like if there's a better speaker at a different one, we'll go to that one. And if there's better music at another one, we'll go to that one. If we get in a fight with someone, we'll switch to this one. If the child care is better. And these people just start laughing. Not like giggling, but like hysterically.
Catch that? In America, we go to one church when we're young because our parents told us that's where you're going. When we're older, we switch to a different one because they have a better youth group. Then we switch to a different church because they might have, let's just say, a singles group or college ministry group where you can meet other people of the opposite gender. And then you go into the other church when you get married. And then right around 40 or 50, the trend is that you go to a more conservative church. That's a trend in America. And that's what he's talking about. Is that in America, we trade our churches kind of like we do with most commercial things. The way you buy your products is the way you shop for a church. And so nowadays, that's kind of common. It's common to not be in one church for most of your life. And so did you pick up on that? The Chinese absolutely laughed. In China, they were talking about that sometimes they had to cut short their services because the police came in and started shooting at them. Can you imagine the police coming in here and starting to shoot at us because we opened Scripture? And so he said the Christians in China are different than Christians in America. And he was called back to America because he saw a church that is dying. He says, what can we do? And he said the number one thing that he thought God was bringing him back to the United States from the place in China was that we are not making disciples. And so what are we doing? And so I was fortunate in my last congregation, they paid for me to go to something called Pastoral Leadership Institute, 4-year program. And one of the things we talked about is this attractional model versus a missional model. The attractional model is that you create a stage and you have a light show and you have a lot of things happening on here. Very different than a traditional, the two totally opposite ends. And so during the 90s and early 2000s, the attractional model was very famous, all right? And so when I looked at what I was doing, my first congregation, there were two churches in the Detroit area, okay? Detroit had a little bit more populous than Wilmer, a little bit, a couple million difference. And so there was a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, over here, and there was a non-denominational church over here. Each church was spending millions of dollars to update their children's facilities so that one family didn't go over here because they had better and cooler slides and stuff for their children's ministry, and their kids were having more fun over here, so they had to create the same thing over here not to lose those same families. So millions of dollars were created to create a fun experience. So that's what was happening there. And my other church in Texas, very interesting enough, is there was one church really on the south side of town that was growing like mad. And so everybody went there, and they were they had youth ministry buildings, $3 million each. And they were really geared towards making the experience for youth the greatest they could be. And so what was happening was they weren't making disciples. They weren't making disciples. Their growth came from when other people in other churches would get mad at what was happening or kind of lose sight of what's going on, and they would go to that church. So the people that were going to that church were not becoming Christian. They were just coming from another church. And so what we learned in this pastoral ministry is that we're not making disciples. The number of disciples in America is not growing, even with the number of churches that we have. In America, 90% of churches are declining. 90%. And so we take a look at what are we doing? Because the missional model is a lot different. It's a lot different. It's not this. It's not recycling other Christians. It's not going out and talking to someone we know at another church and saying, you really need to come to our place. Missional model is finding out people that we come in contact with each and every day and to say, okay, how is your faith walk doing? How is life doing? If things aren't going okay, that sounds a lot like mine. My story was where you're at right now, and I just want you to know that this Jesus here changed my life, and getting to the back to the basics of who he is, when I open up scripture and I find something greater than what I'm going through. And so that's missional model growth. And so I take a look at the church today, and can I just ask us to take a look at what are we doing today? What are we doing today? We can talk about the 95% or the 90%. We can talk about the way things are in other churches, but we have to really come back and say, as a congregation, where's our mold? Where's our model? Who is our model? And so I take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you would, read this with me. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So when we're talking about this idea that we are to go out and make disciples, according to Paul, one of the greatest things we are to take with us is the love of Christ. You don't have to worry about what you need to say. Take the love of Christ with you. It's not going to be popular to everybody else. And so we as a congregation, if we're going to go out and make disciples, if we are going to follow God's suggestion, if we're going to follow God's command, that means Christ needs to go before us. And so our talk, what we talk about with others, is the love of Christ. And so we're going to get into that a little bit in the next couple of weeks. But the first thing we need to do is that we need to remind ourselves, as Paul does, if I do not have love, that love comes from God alone. And we need to remember that when God says, thou shalt not, he means, thou shalt not. When he says, go and make, he means we as a congregation need to bring ourselves back and say, are we listening to what God says? Are we listening to what God says? And I know that when God put out the Ten Commandments and he really gives us the two tables, and we can get into this mindset, God, we cannot keep these laws perfectly. And that is the main idea of the Ten Commandments. We cannot live up to God's law. But one person did. One person did. When he hung on that cross, he hung as the white lamb that that carried our sins, and he carried perfection up there. He was the only one who could die for our sins. He is the one that we keep ever before us as a congregation. It's not a model. It is him as our model. We don't look at church growth. We look at what Jesus is doing in this kingdom, in his kingdom. It doesn't have to do with us. And so as a congregation here this morning, I remember a new king, and he dedicates a beautiful sanctuary to God. And God tells him, if my people would humble themselves. And so today, I want to ask you guys, are we humble of what God commands us to do? Are we humble? And so what an amazing thing is when we have stumbled throughout life, when we have stumbled to really obey what God has commanded us to do, what a great God that we still get to breathe. We still get to breathe after that. What love he has lavished on us that we can come before him and really, really emotionally on our knees to ask God to remember us for who we are. As a congregation, can we just do that today? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.